I'm Mark Abbey. In early June, Joyce and I and our daughter-in-law, Brittany, were able to go on a medical mission trip. Brittany's a nurse, Joyce is a former elementary and special ed teacher, and I'm a retired family physician, so that explains our involvement in a work like this. We traveled to Guyana, which is on the northern coast of South America. It's a more culturally and economically tied to the Caribbean community. It's the only English-speaking country in South America, so we're able to communicate directly in the clinic. And it's one of the poorest countries in our hemisphere. The population is less than 1 million people, and it's a significant mission field for many missions sponsored by the Churches of Christ. My time is limited this morning, so if you have any questions about this, see me afterwards, or you can email me. Our involvement in this began in 1995, which is the first time Joyce and I traveled on a mission trip to Guyana. This was somewhere around my 12th trip to Guyana to do similar work. Through the years, we've partnered with various Church of Christ organizations, Partners in Progress, and some others to help us get there, and had a long-term relationship with a missionary from Arkansas that lived in Guyana for about 30 years and helped coordinate these teams. Traditionally, we would recruit a small group from the church that we went to in Lancaster, Ohio, and then we would join a bigger group from around the country to go down on these medical missions, usually groups around 30 to 40. This is an evangelistic medical mission trip. That's the Great Commission there that I have on screen. This is really not a healthcare trip that's designed to change healthcare dynamics in a poor country. This is meant to offer free medical care to people, to encourage them to come in, meet members of the church, have Bible studies, and things like that. To explain how this particular medical mission work works, I just kind of want to run through a chronological trip very quickly. This was a team this year, 16 people, most of which were from the Houston area. This is the smallest group I've been part of. We arrive in Guyana around midnight on a Saturday night. We catch a couple hours of sleep and then get in these small vans to go to the church that we're going to be working with that week. We travel to a suburb of Georgetown and arrive at the Claybrook Church of Christ, which is one of the suburbs. We worship with the church where we're going to be setting up the clinic that week and have a really good dialogue and conversation with them. Then we get back to the hotel, we catch a couple hours of sleep, and we kind of organize our supplies for the clinic the next day and take our marching orders from Richard Blunt, who organized the trip. This was under the oversight of the Westbury Church of Christ eldership in Houston, and he's one of the members there. Our daily routine looks the same. We eat, leave for the clinic, arrive, have a short devo. We run the clinic till about 5 o'clock. We take about an hour off, and then we have a nightly service with the Guyanese brethren there. To get to the clinic, we have to drive across this floating pontoon bridge. This floating pontoon bridge crosses a river bigger than the Mississippi, so it's quite an adventure to get there. And I kind of want to run through how the clinic works. We basically get there, we have a devotional, and then we have registration where people just walk in to be seen. They take the addresses, contact information, so members of the church can later contact those people. And then we get into the clinic. So this is kind of a busy slide. In the back right, you have a break room for the workers. Back left, you have the children's ministry area. In the middle there, you've got a bunch of Bible studies going on. In the front row, you have the people that have completed the Bible studies or, you know, have just determined they just want to see the doctor there. And then they're waiting to be seen by the clinical team. It's hot. You have to drink a lot. It's very tropical. Joyce worked in the children's ministry area where she basically kept children occupied with Bible stories and crafts while they're waiting to be seen by the doctor or their parents were involved in Bible studies. So she had a hard job that week. These are some pictures of some Bible studies that are going on at the church site. So some of these Bible studies will last for 60 seconds, basically just information. I'm Hindu, I just want to see the doctor, that's fine. Sometimes these Bible studies turn into 4 or 5 hour Bible studies that result in some conversions and some very deep studies. This is the medical team, 2 doctors, 3 nurses. This is the nurses' triage area where they set up and kind of figure out what we can do for people, take some vital signs, do some basic tests. People often ask me, okay, what do you do down there? What do you see? There's just a lot of routine care that we see. And then there's a lot of chronic disease management where we have medications for diabetes and high blood pressure and high cholesterol and things like that. It is a tropical area, so through the years, not this year, but I did throw in a couple slides of some crazy stuff I've seen through the years. A lot of parasitic diseases there that we just don't see there. A lot of rashes and things like that just related to the harsh medical conditions of the tropics. This is our pharmacy where we hand out free medications after we kind of determine what we can do for people. And I estimated during the week we probably handed out somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 of free medications. This is Markel. Markel is a farm tech from Houston, and he collects glasses through the years, eyeglasses and reading glasses and also sunglasses. And he's learned how to refract people and try to give them a best fit kind of prescription for when they're there. We run the clinic till about 5 o'clock, and then we take a break. I try to recruit some people to go for a nightly walk, get a little exercise. We renew some friendships of some people I've known for many, many years. And then we have our nightly service there. During the nightly service, there's a children's ministry program that goes on, kind of a VBS type of environment. Very popular with the Guyanese children there, draws a pretty big crowd. Guyana is a land of coexisting religions. I took a picture of this from a Church of Christ site where you see a mosque off to the right with an inset there, and then across the street there is a house with Hindu religious flags flying. So it's a land of coexisting religions. An overview for the week, we saw about 800 people that week. We had multiple Bible studies, 7 baptisms during the clinic hours. We had nightly crusades, they call them gospel-type meetings. The local congregation is strengthened. It becomes better known in their community. There's a lot of personal growth that goes on by the workers, and we make a lot of relationships. We run the clinic Monday through Friday, then we hop on a plane Saturday night, and we're back to Houston. So that's my brief tour there. Next up is Tom Langley to talk about Nepal and Romania.
I don't have as many slides, and I'll probably talk slower. Thank you, Mark. That was very good. Thank you so much. I'm going to have to get up to my slide. But I will be talking about our WI missions, particularly in the country of Romania. David, is there some way you can pop me up to my slide? I'm not sure how far I'll have to go here. We had teachers from the Maryville Church of Christ that went to 4 different countries to teach World English Institute and the Bible, mostly the Bible, in 4 different countries. In February, we had teams that went. I went on 2 different teams to Nepal. Albania, we had teams go there this summer, and Ken Wells is going to talk about that right after me. And in Romania, we had 3 teams or 3 cities where we taught there. And then I'm going to briefly tell you about a mission that we have upcoming in October in Ethiopia, where we're going to be teaching there. The 2 cities in Nepal, which we took teams into to study the Bible with the Nepalese in February and March of this year, that was a thrill. And the people were just incredible. They were so receptive to the Bible. And it was an amazing mission. The 2 cities that we went to were Kathmandu and Pokhara, Nepal. 6 teachers in 2 cities in Kathmandu. We studied mostly with WI online students. Ano and Nadine Damo studied there for 2 months. And so approximately they studied 320 hours of Bible studies were conducted by those 2 over a course of 2 months. So their schedules were very busy, 5 to 6, 7 students per day. In Pokhara, we had 4 teachers who went there and taught, again, WI online students. And they, in the 4 weeks that they were there, they conducted approximately 480 hours of Bible studies. Isn't that remarkable? When you think about it and you do the math, it's mind-blowing. There were several who became Christians during that. Our missionaries in Pokhara, Nepal, I hope that they will visit here in a couple of months this fall. They're going to be coming back and doing some reporting, and they want to come through Maryville, so maybe you will get to meet them. Craig and Teresa Phillips, wonderful couple, just doing an incredible work. The 4 teachers that taught in Nepal, all from California, and that is them there. Just wanted to give you an idea of that. And then we also taught in 3 cities in Transylvania, Romania. And the cities where we taught in Transylvania, Romania, we had teams of Bible teachers go there. Oradea, Romania, Arad, Romania, and Cluj, Romania. In Oradea, we had a total of 8 teachers, and they also approximately taught 480 hours of Bible studies over that month-long period. In Arad, They were there for 4 weeks, a total of four teachers, but mainly there were three teachers that that were there most of the time. In fact, we have a brother with us, Brother Charles Summers is from California, and he's here with us today visiting, and it just happened to be our Mission Sunday where we do our reporting. I calculated approximately 205 hours of Bible studies were conducted there. And in Cluj, Romania, for 2 weeks, two teachers taught approximately 80 hours of Bible studies. Add all of that up. That is a ton of studying the Bible with many. This is the first team in Oradea. There were four teachers. The second team in Oradea, the second two-week team that came in, and we completed the entire survey of the Bible through the WI materials with our students during that month-long period. This is what it looks like. Just very simple. You sit across at a table with your student, and you go through the Bible material of WEI. And there's Brother Charles Summers, who's here with us this morning. And the lady on your right is Dana Nelson. She taught with Charles for those 4 weeks. And the lady in the middle is Christina Maria Kojakaru, and she is your new sister in Christ. Charles baptized her, I think, on the last Sunday that we were there. What a wonderful experience that was. We are planning a team to go to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, in October of 2024. The reason why we're doing this is because we have tens of thousands of students in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. It's the capital. And so we're taking in 10 Bible teachers. And we will invite all of these students, our best students in that group, we'll invite them to a reception. We'll have a big venue. They will come, and I will do a presentation, and then we will invite them, introduce them to the 10 Bible teachers, and invite them to study daily with those Bible teachers. We'll be there for 10 days. So these are students who have been studying the Bible online. The soil has been prepared. It's been watered. And we just go in and help answer their questions and even continue with them in Bible studies during that time. That's coming up in October, and ask for your prayers for that. I believe that just about takes up my time, but I want to introduce Brother Ken Wells to speak about Albania. You know, what we're doing here is very appropriate. The Apostle Paul, after his first missionary journey, went back to Antioch. He reported all that the Lord did through his work and how the Lord provided him grace that he was able to extend and reach the Gentiles. So that's basically what we're doing on this Sunday, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. Brother Ken?
My name is Ken Wells. And the elders asked me to spend a few minutes just summarizing my trip to Albania. So this was my first year going to Albania. I know some of you have been at least once. Some of you have been multiple times. So I'm going to have a little different take than Tom and Mark just did. But I'm just going to real briefly just summarize my students this year. And really, you know, through this, I just really want to encourage you to think about what you can do, to help, what you can do to support, and what you can do to participate in these kinds of missions. Maryville Church of Christ has lots of opportunities, has lots of mission programs of various kinds going on. So you'll pray about it, think about it, check your heart, and find out how you can participate. All right, so we'll just start. I just introduced my students very briefly to you. The top left up there, I have a little yellow box. It's not too easy to see, but top left, that's Vera. And off to her left there, that's her daughter, Sarah. And to her right that's her son, Aaron. So Vera is a very, very good Bible student. She's been, every year she's been attending, except the COVID year, she's been attending the classes there at the church building. And Vicky and David, there he is, they were her teachers in the past as well. She's just a lovely lady, an amazing Bible student, and she loves to speak English, especially to other adults. Her daughter, Sarah, is highly autistic, and she's very, very needy, and she... She has a wonderful heart as well, just like her mom. But she has a huge challenge. And Vera has a huge challenge as well. And we talked about all that and all the struggles of her dedication to Sarah. And, you know, some of her guilt by maybe not being spending as much time with is the Aaron as possible. That's Vera. Next student over, this is Eddie. And so Eddie is a lovely lady as well. And she's a program manager for a senior program manager for a high-level government office. And Albania is progressing pretty quickly in their move out of communism. And so they are, you know, progressing their economy and different things. And so they have applied to join the EU. And I think she said that her the application date is like 2027 or 2028, and it's coming up pretty soon. And they have lots and lots of things that they have to modify and fix in the country. So she's a program manager helping that transition. Bottom left there, so that's Armand. And Armand is a director of finance for a government office of corruption. And he has a couple teenage sons, so we were able to talk about, you know, teenagers and some of the challenges and some of the differences that we face growing up. We're about the same age. And just the difference between the world then and the world now, and this deep dive into secularism, basically facilitated by smartphones, and so we had all those challenges. So he told me a little story that after communism fell, George Bush Sr., he was the first Western leader to go to Albania and offer support for their transition. And so they have streets named after them, hotels and cafes and things. And one of the things that Armand told me is what one of the most beneficial things they did was send over a big coalition of Albania government and other officials to learn about the U.S. justice system. Because they were the Ottomans in World War I and World War II and in communism. There was no justice system. Everything was graft and corruption, just like you hear about. That's how the whole thing worked. And so they needed to flesh that out if they were going to operate like a more capital system. And so they learned from, you know, the U.S. how to implement a working, functioning justice system. And I said, well, it's time for you to come back. Bring the books you used to have and teach us how to do it all over again. So we had a really nice discussion. And Emanuela, she was Artan's student for week number one, but evidently Artan wasn't doing a good job or something, so she became, no, Artan needed to travel around one of the brothers, one of the preachers, his wife died, and so during the time while we were there, so Artan and Bloody made a special trip down there to encourage them and participate in that. So Emanuela moved over to me, and she's a delightful young lady. She's very task-focused. Any of you task-focused? Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, Emanuela is very task-focused. But she's a delightful young lady. She's a recent graduate from a forestry management program. And so I was actually able to connect her on LinkedIn with one of Joanne's longtime colleague who had been doing forestry management in California for over 40 years. And so they connected on LinkedIn that way. I say this one for last. Because this is a special story. So Ramiz, he's been studying the Bible for about a year, and he was baptized the Sunday that we got there, right? We just arrived. We were still the jet lag and the whole thing, trying to figure out what was going on, and he was baptized. I didn't know he was going to be my student. So Monday afternoon, Ramiz Bala shows up. So he's a recent convert, and one of the things I noticed immediately when Ramiz showed up was this peace. That couldn't explain it, but it was this peace that came over me whenever he was there. So we really, really enjoyed our studies. We're about the same age, right? So we, again, got to talk about, you know, what it's like growing up and our youth and all the transitions and how the world's changed and all of that. And the reason I really wanted to bring him up, right, is that I was talking to Bledy. Bledy and Artan and I, we were having a meeting. I said, this is Ramiz, right? He's like different. What is it about Ramiz? And Bledy said, oh, yeah, he's a man of peace. Man of peace? Whoa. Yeah, but what does that really mean? So he referred me back to Luke 10 when Jesus sends out the 72. It's whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. And so Bledy said, yeah, that's where that came from. And yeah, Bledy is Ramiz is a man of peace. That's in the mission field. This is very common when you go to a new mission field and you don't know anybody and you need a place to stay. You look for somebody, a house where there is a somebody of peace. And this is Ramiz. So he was a very special student of mine. All right. Well, that's the end of my students. So I didn't want to recap my whole trip. Maybe you've heard that before, but I just wanted to recap my students and let you know that when you go there and you're a teacher, you really don't have to know a lot of English. The materials teach all that. And sorry to admit, but English was not my favorite topic. It was not my favorite topic. You know, we're going to learn about conjugated verbs now. It's like, what? You know, I'm not. So I didn't need to. So the book it teaches itself. But you get to have wonderful, wonderful Bible discussions. And they ask questions and you have conversations. And it's just really, really amazing. And you are really doing them a significant service by letting them have English conversations with a native English speaker. You can talk about some of the idioms. You can talk about some of the ways that English is used that maybe isn't proper, because they all work with English speaking colleagues from U.S. and around the world as well. So I just really wanted you to get involved some way or the other. If you don't go there, if you can't or you don't want to or whatever, you should absolutely be an online WEI teacher. That doesn't take much time at all, and you can, you know, like Tom was telling us earlier, you can impact people's lives. Many, many people have come to Jesus through the online. So I really encourage you to get involved one way or the other. So one last thing before I hand my time back over to Travis. I met a lady there at the church in Tirana, and this is Lisa Foreman, and Lisa moved to Albania a number of years ago to work with Roma children. And if you're not familiar with Roma children, we typically call them gypsies, but a little bit of research on my part, that's actually, they consider that a racial slur, and if we didn't use that term, that would make them happy. But if you know anything about Roma, they're a peoples, and they've never really had their own land. They're always seem to be foreigners, outsiders, no matter where they're at. They have their own, you know, they're kind of their own language and their own people and their own customs and things like that going on. So Lisa met some of them, fell in love with that community, and she's doing a lot of work with children. And I just wanted to share with you that Mission 567, there's a brand new website that she has. It's mission567.org. And I asked her, where did the name came from? He goes, oh, that's kind of a long story. And I said, well, you can share the long story or give me a summary. So she said, Mission 567 comes from 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So she said, I want the kids in our program to know the truths found in this message. And so that's the purpose of the mission that she set up. She doesn't, you know, she's not asking for funds or support. She's, you know, doesn't solicit them. If you feel like supporting her in this mission, I'm sure maybe talk to Artan and we'll figure out how to make that happen. I just wanted to share that with you. I thought that was pretty amazing. And then there's just a photo of our students, or our teachers for this summer. It's just, you know, and a number of people came from Hardin Valley and throughout Tennessee and Arkansas and other places in the Midwest. And so it's a really, really nice, loving, giving, kind, sharing group of people who go to be teachers. I mean, everyone gives up a couple weeks or more of their summer to go do this, to meet new people, to make new friends, and to share the gospel with people around the world. And I would encourage you to consider how you can participate as well. All right, thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Mark and Tom and Ken, for your excellent reports and for the work that you've done this summer and throughout the year. And I also want to say thank you to this church as a whole. All of this, so much of what you've heard is possible because of your efforts and your generosity, and it means the world to us. It means the world to me and to my family. We were able to go to Albania this summer. That's a couple weeks ago. We missed a few weeks here, and that's where we were. And when you look at all of the things that we've heard about so far just this morning, we've heard about people who are helping medically and helping improve the physical well-being of people around the world. We've talked about people who are going and strengthening churches and implementing ministry work and opportunities there. We've talked about people who are teaching English and helping people better themselves and learn a new language. And what we did is we specifically went and we went to a camp where we worked with some of the youth and taught the parables from the Gospel of Luke and tried to teach more about Jesus and build good relationships there. But all of those good works have something in common, and that they're united through the proclamation of the gospel. If you believe that the gospel is powerful, if you want to see the gospel spread in this world, if you believe that Christianity is good for this world and that Jesus is good for this world, then this is something that absolutely you should be praying for and encouraging and trying to support as much as you can. I believe that Jesus changes the world, that Jesus changes lives, and as his body, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to engage in that. So when we went to Albania, the first place that we went to, we arrived in Tirana, and we saw Bledi and Bona and their family. They work with the church there, and they're wonderful missionary family, and they've been here a couple of times, and Bledi's a fantastic guy. He's a brilliant guy, does tremendous work. And we were there for about a day and a half before we went down to Korça. Korça is a beautiful city in Albania, and we spent time there with this family. That's Albert and Jona Cepi and their three daughters. They are good friends of ours, and it was really nice to get to see them. But as I said, we went to a camp, and we did this last year too. And last year, they were able to go to the camp also, so we were able to spend some good quality time with them there. But Jona's been having some health issues. She's been prayed for by this church. And so because of that, they weren't able to go to camp this year. And so we spent a little bit of time with them before camp started, before we went there. But I would encourage you to pray for their work, pray for her health, and pray for their family. They're doing great work also. Albert does an incredible job. He works with the church, but he also is a social worker, and he's able to help in the community, and they're doing a tremendous amount of good. So this is a family we care about a lot, and again, we want you to pray for it. But it was after spending a little bit of time with them that we went to a camp in Bunetz. And there's no place like Bunetz. It is a beautiful place. It is, so the way the camp works, it's actually a three-week camp. We were there for the first week of it, and then there's a second week and a third week. And they all cover different age groups. So the first week is for the youngest kids, about age 8 to 13 or 14 or so. And then you have a second week, which is for like older high school kids, pretty much up through high school. And then the last week is a family camp. Pretty much that's just anyone. They go and they spend their time there. And the camp is full of fellowship. It's full of scripture and Bible learning, and it's full of an awful lot of fun. This is the setup of the camp. There's a field that they have cleared out. They've made this a place that is habitable without a tremendous amount of work from a lot of different churches and people coming together to make this place a wonderful environment. It wouldn't be able to work. Months before camp, people are showing up to do work to get this place ready. But they set up tents all around, so pretty much everything you do is in a tent at the camp, whether it's where you sleep, or whether it's the bathrooms, whether it's the showers, whether it's the kitchen. They just set up these tents, but they're nice tents, and it's a good place to be. I'll tell you one thing I appreciate, though, about Ken Wells, is if you look over, there are some, I guess you're looking this way, but there are some tables that are set up. It's hot at this camp. You know, it's hotter there than it is here, and there's no air conditioning or anything like that. He showed up for like the first day or two of the camp. He was there, I think he got there Saturday and left Monday. Or maybe he left Sunday. But anyway, he helped them put a tarp over the top of those tables so that you could have shade while you sat and ate. And that saved a lot of us. But this is the setup of the camp. These are the campers that were there. A good group from many different congregations in Albania represented. And this is one of those things that I love, how often the churches in Albania get together to support one another. They have good relationships with each other, and they do kingdom work together. This is the staff that was there that we were able to work with, a lot of talented and wonderful people there. We would start off the day with a devotional. There'd be music playing, and then you get out of your tent, and then you go, and we have an early morning devotional around the table before we have breakfast. Now, I have a picture. There's a man there, the guy with the towel draped around him who's working with the food. His name is Jafer. He works with the church in Palichan, which is a church that we support, and he and his son, Arad, work here with the camp. And they stay for all 3 weeks. And he does pretty much all of the cooking for the camp. There is not a place hotter in this world than the kitchen tent at that camp where he stays for 3 weeks cooking food over and over and over again. He is one of the most wonderful people you could ever meet. He genuinely loves serving the church, and he's good. It is impressive to me that in a camp cooking for all of these people in those conditions, he can make legit good food over and over again. So he does a fantastic job. And then we would have breakfast. And then breakfast was always accompanied with one of my favorite things, which was the chai mali, which is mountain tea that they have there in Albania. This is even the young enjoying some chai mali. It's always a great morning. You go from morning to, there's no pool there at the camp or anything, and it's hot. But thankfully, we are about a quarter mile walk or so from the Ionian Sea. And so that's where we would do our swimming. And so we'd go here to the sea, and the kids would play in the water, and we have, you know, the adults try to watch them to make sure they don't go out too far. But they play there. Then there's all kinds of opportunities for play and free time at the camp. They're playing soccer here, or I always get corrected there when I say soccer. They're playing football here. There's volleyball set up. But then after a couple hours of free play and lunch, we would get together and we would have a devotional. There's singing taking place and learning a lot of the worship songs before going to their classes. This is Lauren teaching a class. Standing next to her, right behind her, is Anissa. She is the wife of Arad, who works with the church in Palichan, and she helps translate for Lauren's class. Dea's there throwing up the peace sign. She's a really cool girl. But then you have all these kids, and the thing that we were told to do was teach the parables as though they've never heard them before. And we were told probably a lot of them never have. And so don't assume knowledge on their part, but try to present very basic, helpful lessons. And so that's what took place. This is Anissa and Clea, their class. This is Daniela's class. And this is Lauren's class that they taught. But one of the things that I loved is after the classes, I saw this happen on a number of occasions. The kids were just full of questions. They came up to Lauren and me to ask questions. They asked questions. This is Clea. She works with the church in Durres, or she attends the church in Durres and does a lot to help there. She's just answering questions that the kids have. We got asked questions about reincarnation, about the afterlife, a lot of things dealing kind of with the afterlife, especially with the rich man and Lazarus parable. But anyway, there's all kinds of questions and deep Bible study taking place. And I wanted to offer a thank you to this church, and I was asked to offer a thank you to you all. We did... You've done a lot for the church in Albania and in many places, but one of the things that we were able to do for this camp that you guys helped with was we brought all the arts and crafts stuff that they were able to do, or a lot of the arts and crafts stuff. We brought an extra bag just full of it, and the kids loved it, whether it was the beads and the strings to make necklaces and bracelets, or it was little projects they could work on, and art projects. They loved it. They had a great time with it, and that was something that you all had a hand in. It also helped, you know, solidify a lot of the lessons that they learned. Then they do an art project that deals with it. It's a great way to learn and to teach. Throughout the week, whether it's the morning devotional, the prayers before meals, whether it is the Bible classes that we have, or the devotional you have earlier in the day, or around mid-afternoon, or the worship, the little ones got opportunities to pray, to offer encouraging thoughts, and so that was something that was wonderful to see. But at nighttime, we would all get together and we'd have a final worship service. We would have some, you know, fun songs like VBS type songs, and then after that is when I would get up and I would preach each night to the camp. That is Chimmy. He preaches for the church in Durres, and he was my translator each night. Does a fantastic job. He's the one who runs the camp. He and his wife Anila do an incredible job making sure that the camp runs smoothly, that everything is safe, and everyone is able to grow spiritually and faithfully. Then the best part of it. After the campers go to bed, the counselors stay, we have a devotional with one another, we talk about what we're going to do the next day, and then they bring out the watermelon. And after a hot day, being up late at night with a bunch of people who are, you know, there for the same purpose, sharing some watermelon together and laughing together is just one of the most cool things. And an Albanian watermelon is top notch. They do watermelon right. And so I am so, yes. Yes, yeah. There's a super cold stream that goes right into the sea, and that's that in the middle of the day you try to go take a dip in so you can cool off a little bit. But they use that as like a refrigerator for the watermelon and things like that, and then they pull it out of there when it's time to eat. But thank you so much for your work and for all that you do for the kingdom of God. Mission work is central to what the gospel is all about. Going back to the book of Genesis, this is a promise made to Abraham, but that in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The idea of blessing multitudes of nations has always been central to what God's plan was. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, after the resurrection, that's what Jesus tells him to do. That the time has come to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. At the end of the book of Romans, Paul is writing, trying to unite Jew and Gentile together and trying to help them realize that the nations all joining together has always been part of God's plan. So he ends with this series of quotations from the Old Testament. Therefore, I will sing praise, or I will praise you among the nations. I will sing to your name. Rejoice, O nations, with his people. Praise the Lord, all you nations, and let all the peoples extol him. And the root of Jesse will come. That's talking about the Christ. He who arises to rule the nations, in him will the nations hope. The picture is all the nations coming to hope in the one true son of David, or son of Jesse. Jesse is David's father. And then in the book of Revelation, you get this picture of this happening. Behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before God, the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's Revelation 7. And you have this picture of all peoples, nations, and languages. When you reach out beyond our borders, when you reach out to a people who aren't the same color as you, or aren't the same culture as you, or aren't the same, don't speak the same language as you, you are demonstrating the universal rule of Christ in this world, which is what the gospel is all about. There's something beautiful about reaching out to the person who lives right next to you, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But there's also something beautiful about saying, I don't care what markers this world has made, everyone matters to God. Amen. everyone matters in the kingdom, and Christ is king over all the world. And so, mission work is essential for knowing and understanding and participating in the gospel itself. And so here's the challenge as we discuss life together this year. Sometimes we're separated by people, from people by geography or nationality or language, yet we're called as Christians to live life together. So here's a couple of ways you can do that. One is to pray for our mission work. Pray for our families. You have a pamphlet there with the faces and the names of a lot of the missionaries that we support. Pray for those people. Financially support our mission work. And a lot of you have. One thing I would encourage you to do is you go out those doors. There are poster boards that have some of the work that we've done, sending care packages to children in Ukraine and some of the work with WEI. Check those things out. Your financial contributions help support all of that and all of these trips that we have taken. And if you're looking for ways to help, that's one way to do it. You can actively join in the mission work. You can travel, or you can get involved by teaching WEI. That's something you can do right from your very own home. But if you care about mission work and you want to get involved, we have opportunities here, and we would love for you to be able to help in that and get involved in that. And if there's anyone here who is in need of the gospel today and wants Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord and to have your sins washed away in baptism, the gospel is for everyone in the whole wide world, including you. And if we can help you do that, please let it be known. You can talk to one of our elders in the library in the back, or you can come sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.